Imagine discovering that the solution to your deepest suffering has existed for 2,500 years, waiting patiently while you searched everywhere else. Vipassana meditation, as taught by S.N. Goenka following the Buddhist tradition, offers exactly this, a practical, non-religious approach to inner peace that has transformed millions of lives worldwide. At its core lies a profound insight. Our suffering doesn't come from external circumstances, but from how we react to them. This ancient technique has found remarkable modern relevance precisely because it addresses the universal human tendency to create our own misery through ignorance of how our minds actually work. 25 centuries ago, Siddhartha Gautama, later known as the Buddha, confronted this problem directly. Born into privilege, he abandoned comfort after witnessing aging, sickness, and death. Through years of experimentation and deep self-observation, he discovered the cause and effect relationship between mental states and suffering. The Buddha never claimed divinity. He was fully human, having developed qualities accessible to anyone willing to make the effort. He taught natural law, not religion or philosophy, offering a systematic approach to mental purification. He encouraged questioning everything, even his own teachings, and emphasized direct experience over blind faith. Nothing was kept hidden or reserved for an elite few. When examining ourselves closely, the Buddha discovered each being is a composite of five constantly changing processes, four mental and one physical. Our seemingly solid body is actually subatomic particles briefly existing before vanishing, a flow of vibrations without true solidity. The mind consists of consciousness, registering phenomena, perception, identifying, sensation, feelings, and reaction, responding with liking or disliking. These mental functions occur instantly when senses contact an object, though we only become aware of reactions after they've intensified. Most challenging is accepting there's no continuing I identity. Each person is a series of related events flowing from preceding ones. Like a river appearing solid from distance, but consisting only of flowing water molecules, we are processes, not fixed entities. Our suffering follows karma, the law of cause and effect. Unlike fate, karma means action. We create suffering through our actions, making us masters of our future if we control them. The Buddha taught that mental action is paramount. With impure mind, suffering follows like a cartwheel behind an ox. With pure mind, happiness follows like an inseparable shadow. Among mental functions are reactions, sankhara, cause suffering. While consciousness, perception, and sensation passively process information, our reactions initiate chains that accumulate into craving, insatiable longing for what isn't, and dissatisfaction with what is. Reactions vary in persistence. Some fade quickly like lines in water, others last like marks in sand, while the deepest remain like carvings in rock. The Buddha discovered that reactions sustain consciousness from moment to moment. Reaction occurs fundamentally because of ignorance, unawareness of our own reactions and existence's impermanent nature. The wheel of suffering turns through this chain. Ignorance leads to reaction, creating consciousness, mind and matter, senses, contact, sensation, craving, attachment, becoming, birth, and finally decay and death with their sorrows. By eradicating ignorance, we break this chain. To eliminate suffering, we must remove its causes, ignorance, craving, and aversion. The Buddhist solution is the Noble Eightfold Path, beginning with sila, moral practice, followed by samadhi, concentration, and panna, wisdom. Sila forms the essential first step. We abstain from harmful actions not just for social benefit, but because they create internal agitation. Buddha noted, "Burning now, burning hereafter, the wrongdoer suffers doubly. Happy now, happy hereafter, the virtuous person doubly rejoices." Sila establishes mental calm for introspection and prevents reinforcing harmful patterns. For most, right speech and action manifest through five precepts: abstaining from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, false speech, and intoxicants. Even our livelihood should neither violate these precepts nor encourage others to break them. Without sila, spiritual progress remains impossible, as the mind is too disturbed to examine inner reality. The second division of the Noble Eightfold Path involves developing concentration to focus and purify the mind. Buddha taught anapanasati, breath awareness, observing natural breath without controlling it, cultivating awareness of the present moment where all reality exists. The untrained mind frequently wanders from breath awareness, requiring patient effort to return attention. With practice, distraction periods shorten while sustained awareness lengthens, and breathing becomes softer and more subtle. The Buddha's unique contribution was panna, wisdom that penetrates to the unconscious mind, where our deepest conditioning lies. While concentration merely diverts attention from craving and aversion, vipassana bhavana, insight development, reaches their roots. Right understanding is experiencing reality directly, not just thinking about truth. The Buddha identified three wisdom types: received, learned from others, intellectual, and experiential. His distinctive offering was a practical technique to realize truth personally. Vipassana involves observing physical sensations within oneself, the intersection where mind and body meet. By systematically moving attention throughout the body without preference or aversion, meditators become aware of subtle realities normally hidden from consciousness. With practice, intense sensations transform into subtler vibrations arising and falling rapidly. This direct experience reveals the fundamental reality of impermanence, anicca, observing how sensations constantly change moment by moment, and that there is no permanent self, anatta, only ever-changing mental and physical processes. Freedom comes through equanimity, observing sensations objectively without reaction. When pain arises during meditation, we learn to observe it with detachment rather than hating it, recognizing its changing nature. By examining sensations objectively, we discover pain's impermanent quality. Awareness and equanimity together form vipassana meditation and lead to liberation. Like a bird needs two wings to fly, both qualities must develop equally. We must become aware of mind and matter in their subtlest nature while maintaining equanimity toward them. In vipassana, we observe bodily sensations without reacting. When we stop reacting, we create no new sankharas. Past conditioning rises to the surface as various sensations, and by maintaining equanimity, we allow old sankharas to arise and pass away without generating new ones. With practice, meditators experience subtle bodily sensations arising and passing rapidly. At the dissolution stage, panga, body and mind dissolve into vibrations, revealing everything in constant flux. This brings bliss, as the Buddha described. Whenever one experiences the arising and passing away of the mental physical processes, he enjoys bliss and delight. True happiness comes when the mind remains unshaken amid life's fluctuations. This equanimity isn't passive aloofness, but a dynamic quality from a purified mind. Freed from blind reactions, the mind naturally develops goodwill, compassion, and sympathetic joy. With balance, we enjoy pleasant experiences without attachment and face unpleasant ones without distress, knowing all are impermanent. Like the wise son with a silver ring inscribed, "This will also change," recognizing impermanence helps maintain mental balance through life's changes. This is the art of living, facing challenges with awareness and equanimity, finding peace not in external circumstances, but in the balanced mind that remains steady through all of life's storms and sunshine.